Acharya's idea is drastic, but policymakers are taking at least some elements of it seriously. President Obama says he wants to overhaul Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and the co-chairs of his deficit commission called for cuts in the mortgage interest deduction. Henry Cisneros, Secretary of Housing and Urban Development under President Clinton, says the most extreme proposals would be a disaster.
If we did it all, if we just cut it out, it would be grievous damage to the way our economy functions, the way our housing markets function. We would see less production. We would see less incentive to become homeowners. We know that home ownership is important to the creation of the middle class. Many studies have shown that one of the principal ingredients for sustaining the American middle class is the enforced savings that people have in the equity in their home. It is their net worth, and for some Americans, the only net worth that they can account for. So it would be grievous in its effect.
You've spent your career trying to close the income gap through housing subsidies, sort of raise the poor into the middle class through home ownership. If we were to eliminate the mortgage tax deduction, mm-hmm. would that make it more fair for everybody that owns a home? Because rich people get more a benefit from the mortgage tax deduction than poor people do.
The mortgage tax deduction is so embedded in our economic system, our housing finance system, that I think it would be major disruption to, quote, eliminate it. And I have not heard, you know, really serious propositions about eliminating it. It's very close to Social Security as one of those third rail issues. But I have heard a good deal of discussion about modifying it, about modifying the scale of it, about modifying the impact for higher incomes, about modifying the scope, what it can be used for, second homes and vacation homes and so forth. All of that is on the table, and I think you will see some changes in it. But I think the fundamental instrument is important to the housing sector as we know it.
That's Henry Cisneros, former Secretary of Housing and Urban Development and the executive chairman of institutional investment firm Cityview. He's been speaking with me from his home in San Antonio, Texas. Mr. Cisneros, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Now, while a lot of Americans can't afford a home right now, there are plenty of foreigners who can, and they want a piece of the American dream, too. At least the dream with the oceanfront view, the pool, and the nightlife of Miami. Thanks to foreign buyers, home sales are so good there that more houses and condos could sell this year than during the boom year of 2005, a time when
you put up a sign and by the end of the day you had three contracts.
That's Oliver Ruiz. He's a managing broker of Fortune International Realty in Florida. He says when the housing crisis hit in 2008, Miami almost crumbled. Foreclosure after foreclosure, high rises full of empty condos that no one could sell.
Everybody began to scramble because you got used to a lot of activity, and then all of a sudden, the bottom fell off.
And you had just no buyers coming in the door. Would you put up an open house sign and just wait all day for somebody to come?
Yeah. Yes. Matter of fact, if you looked at the local newspaper, which advertises all of the local sales, that page went away. There was nothing happening.
And so now, here we are, 2011. What's business like now?
Nonstop. It's like it was back in the boom.
Take like a condo in 2005. How much would it have sold for? And then how much would it have sold for now?
In 2005, it probably would be about $450. Mm-hmm. And now you could probably get it between $2 and $225.
Wow. So now, I mean, it's basically half off.
Yeah, exactly. 50%.
So right now, if you were to describe your clientele, what does it look like?
Well, if you want to name a nation, I can tell you they're here. Miami is the playground to the world right now. We sold a home the other day on Key Biscayne to an Argentinian fella for about $13 million.
Wow.
We also sold a home to a Russian there for about $4 million.
I bet those homes have pools.
They have pools and they have the water in the back, matter of fact. You can park your yacht back there. One interesting sale that we made the other day were to three Norwegians who import all of the farm-fed Norwegian salmon into the United States, and they wanted a little piece of the action here in Miami, so they bought two penthouses apartments on a building on Brickell Avenue.
What does this mean for locals in Miami who need a place to live?
Well, aside from all the premium real estate, the local buyers have the confidence again to buy and sell. However, they can't sit on the fence anymore because it's beginning to bounce back, and they just can't sit back and say, I'm going to wait a little more to see if I can get a better deal.
There's some competition out there.
Yes, there is competition.
Overall, how have the foreigners buying up so many of these properties affected the local economy?
Well, it's helped tremendously. They come in and they spend money. They go into a store and they just don't buy one bottle. They buy boxes. They go into restaurants and they spend a lot of money. So the economy of Miami has been helped tremendously by the foreign buyers.
Is there any downside to this?
The only downside that I can tell you is that unfortunately some of the I was talking to someone the other day, it costs you $35 to park your car on South Beach.
That's Oliver Ruiz. He's managing broker of Fortune International Realty in Florida. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Oh, my pleasure.